Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, it's a Friday. It's the Early Line. It's the Sports Grid Network. Rise and grind with us because we have so much to go over today. Over the next 3 hours, we got you covered on the hottest topics across the sports landscape. My goodness, the Elite Eight is on deck here. The Sweet 16 taking place right now. Major League Baseball opening day, buzzer beaters in the NBA, and so much more to get to, which includes some NFL hot topics as well. I'm Donnie Wrightside along with Joe Ranieri on this Friday on the grid. I don't know, Joe, if 3 hours is enough to hold down the fort with the amount of information we have to get out, but I know you're going to die trying over there.
It's a fun Friday. The best time of year right now, where Major League Baseball intersects with March Madness and the NBA playoffs and Stanley Cup playoffs just around the corner. It's a good time of year, Donnie.
No, it certainly is. And by the way, congratulations to the Marlins packing in a dub opening day. See them next year in the playoff hunt. Those Miami Marlins, we'll get to that and much, much more. But center stage right now is the 7-7, and it was the Sweet 16 last night, which included a game between the Texas Tech Red Raiders and the Arkansas Razorbacks that ended up in overtime after a furious comeback, Joe.
Unbelievable. I mean, at no point in that game did Texas Tech look like they could compete with the athleticism or the size of Arkansas until, well, the second half. And then they overcame a 16-point deficit, Donnie, and just unbelievable comeback, taking it to OT there with Texas Tech getting it done.
Phenomenal game all the way through, too, and not all that great shooting here for Texas Tech. What are they known for, Joe, most of the time? The three-point shooting. Chance McMillan still didn't play last night. Was a game-time decision. You see them go 8 for 32 and only shoot 11 total free throws and still come away with the game. Now, from my end of it, I actually thought the under was a pretty good play. You see where it says final/OT? Yeah, 24 extra points in the extra frame did us in on that. If you had the under, but you had the over, congratulations, getting the overtime, sometimes half the battle. The Arkansas Razorbacks, one of those teams where open up the season, looked like they were going to be a really good team here based on the rankings. Midway through the season, didn't look so good, played their best basketball at the end, just wasn't enough here to hold off the Texas Tech Red Raiders in a great performance. Another game we'll talk about last night, the Duke Blue Devils, 100 points. Get used to that theme here in the East where they played in Newark. 100-93 victory over the Arizona Wildcats. Cooper Flagg was tremendous in this game, dropping 30 points and trying to put Arizona over the top. That was Caleb Love. 40 minutes played, didn't sub out, dropped 35 points. It wasn't good enough, Joe, but it was good enough for the cover.
Yeah, another one of these where, you know, Duke was up by as many as 19 before unbelievable rally in that second half by Caleb Love and Arizona. Ultimately, they just fell a couple of shots short, but, you know, Cooper Flagg and everyone else had a little something to say about that. But if there was an over on the card last night, everyone was looking at the next game we'll talk. But this, to me, was the dead over of the night here, given the pace that Arizona was going to want to play at.
Yeah, you figured we get some good offensive theatrics, getting to 100 points there. Both teams over 100 total points in the second half. A lot of fun to watch it through. If you're a prop bettor, you probably enjoyed that game absolutely as well. Getting back to the West Coast yesterday, the early game, Joe, was the Florida Gators and the Maryland Terrapins. Some cloudy issues, dark clouds following on Maryland's head coach, Mr. Willett over there. Will he leave? Will he stay? Well, it looks like he's probably leaving based on the final score, 87-71 victory for the Florida Gators, as expected. They won that basketball game. A little bit of touch and go. Like Alex Condon goes down early in the first half with an ankle injury, but does come back to help them with the victory. 40-38 at the break. A big second half by the Gators. 47-33. They prevail over the Terrapins.
This was a game that I did not understand the love for Maryland. I did not understand why everyone thought that what they saw against UConn with Florida somehow led people to believe that they were vulnerable in that game last night. It's just too much depth, Donnie, and that's the bottom line with this Florida team. Their All-American guard was nowhere to be found last night, and yet they still managed to absolutely smoke Maryland, who really only has a starting five, and once they had to go to the bench, it was all over there. So Florida rolls, and that's going to make a very interesting conversation with the next game for them as well.
No, it certainly is. And maybe we are on a collision course for Duke to take on Florida in that final. Two immovable objects right now, as appears on the court. Now, if you want to say you wanted high scoring, you wanted a free-flowing game, you wanted to have fun, you got it last night in New Jersey. The Alabama Crimson Tide dropped 113 points. BYU, 88. The crazy part of this is a college basketball team scored 88 points and did not cover their number, which was a 4.5 to 5.5 at the closing number at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Alabama was sensational from the three-point line. By the way, Joe, did the Boston Celtics step in here for the Crimson Tide? 25 of 51 from three-point range? You got to be kidding me.
Yeah. 25 threes will change the narrative of a game rather quickly. And, you know, but if there was ever a team that was going to drop that kind of number in a game, it was always going to be Alabama here, who's never met a three they didn't like to make. And when they play like that, very difficult to beat them. But I've been saying it all week. They were the only team, I think, that has enough scoring punch to be able to go toe-to-toe with the Blue Devils if it's going to be one of those, 100-point games and may the best team win. That's Alabama's best way of being able to beat Duke and advance to the Final Four.
The three, Joe, the ultimate equalizer, and Alabama certainly has that on their side. But Major League Baseball yesterday did have an opening day, very fun across the board, which saw the Orioles absolutely blast the Blue Jays 12-2. You saw the Dodgers pick up another victory. The question is, can they go 162-0? Opening day yesterday, big news, which again, as I teased, those Marlins 1-0. Oh my goodness, break out the brooms.
There were a lot of people betting road favorites yesterday, like they knew what the score was going to be. Phillies fans almost had a, Donnie, and almost had a coronary in extra innings there. But how about Devin Williams walking the bases loaded in the top of the ninth inning against his former team to give Yankee fans nothing but odds? So it was a good opening day. I can't wait to see what today brings.
We just said like the three-point shot, like live by the sword, die by the sword. How about make a tip-in at the buzzer and then lose by a tip-in at the buzzer? You got that in the Bulls and the Lakers game. 119-117, the Chicago Bulls knock off the Lakers. Wait a second. We're supposed to win these close games at the end. We're unable to do so. LeBron, 17 points. Luka Doncic, 25. Not enough in that effort. And the Bulls came to play last night.
Yeah, I mean, that was a very interesting game because the Lakers pretty much had it in control for most of it until, well, right at the end when they didn't. And that was ultimately what cost them. But the Red Hot Bulls, huh? How about them making a run here towards the end of the season?
Chicago. And again, the NBA ranted on again yesterday. As soon as they do away with the back-to-backs, we'll enjoy the product a little bit more. The Lakers yesterday on a back-to-back tough scene, they ended up taking a loss. But again, with the NBA, the All-Star game, it's embarrassing. The same way the NFL Pro Bowl was. They said, you know what? We make money on this, but it's still not a good look for the sport. Just do away with it. The NBA will scrap yet another format, Joe, for the All-Star game. Surprising? No, not at all.
I love that. Yeah, that's great. Well, I mean, just keep rolling. Sooner or later, if you throw enough against the wall, right, Donnie, something's going to stick here. But give me a break. The only way the All-Star game makes any sense is if there is the guys involved in it actually want to be there. That's it. It's the only way it makes any sense.
It's the simplicity of it, Joe. Basketball should be the easiest sport to replicate. And all you do is tell these players, guys, you have a lot of pride. We are not asking you to play like it's game 7 of the NBA Finals 2 minutes ago in a tie game. Go out there and play a little bit more intense in a pickup game. The fans will love it. They'll see the superstars. Yep. Nobody will ever complain. But yet somehow it's just I made the All-Star game. Fantastic. Where are the parties at all weekend long? I can't believe I have to play in this stupid basketball game. Fly me back out because I'm going to go to Cabo for 2 to 3 days. days before the NBA picks up again in the regular season. Enough with it. Just play a little bit harder. The people will enjoy it there. Let's get back to the college basketball hardwood. It was exciting last night right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's the early line on a Friday morning. No better way to kick off your weekend than spend it with us. And when I mean us, it's Donnie Wrightside. It's Joe Ranieri. It's so much fun. It's the Sweet 16. It's the Elite Eight. We're all watching and... outside of people here in New Jersey, I hope you guys are enjoying some of these Eastern Region games, which are taking place in Newark. Because yesterday, Joe, I love the Alabama Crimson Tide. I could not bet the Alabama Crimson Tide. So I sent a tweet out that said, I hope you all enjoyed yourself, made some money, because I sat back to myself and said, oh, this isn't fair. But having said that, it's okay. We move on. We recap. We have fun. And there's other spots that we can make our money on. But yesterday, it was the Duke Blue Devils and the Arizona Wildcats. We thought we would get a pretty good offensive game, and boy, did we yesterday. 100 points for the Duke Blue Devils, 93 for the Arizona Wildcats. This is sort of what we thought, because for me, Joe, coming into, and I like to say the third round, let's just say, Sweet 16 into the Elite Eight. No more Cinderella slippers out there, all Power Five conferences. And I really wanted to see if some of the underdogs not only could win games, but just hang around. Four games yesterday, two favorites covered, two underdogs covered. I figured we get at least 4-4 in the Sweet 16 into the Elite Eight, and also with the chance to maybe have a 5-3, 6-2 run here with some of the underdogs, which weren't coming in those first two rounds. But yesterday, Duke was just better. You see the final score. Yes, you got the cover, but Duke, as you said, Joe, to open the show, close to 20-point lead in the second half here. They basically just held them at arm's length and were able to pick up the victory and move on.
Yeah, and that was the bottom line, is that that game was really never in doubt with Duke and Arizona. I mean, Duke was clearly the better team. Cooper Flagg kind of just took the ball last night and just said, enough is enough. We're not losing this game. And that was the end of that. So, I mean, you know, he goes in, he drops 30 points. And whenever they needed a bucket or they needed a defensive play, he seems to have been around there. I mean, how many more alley-oops are you going to give up, Arizona, with the one-handed slams? It's like, come on, you got to be kidding me. But listen, we knew Duke. I didn't think Arizona was going to be the team to beat Duke. I thought if anybody's going to take Duke down on that side of the bracket, Alabama poses the greatest risk for the Duke Blue Devils here. It's the matchup we're going to get, but Arizona made it interesting. I don't know necessarily. It felt like Duke did take their foot off the gas a little bit late in that game, and that's why it got as close as it did. But Duke is the best free throw shooting team left in the tournament right now, and you saw that last night because Arizona kept trying to get back into it, but every time they did, they kept making their free throws, and that was the end of it. Game over.
Yeah, this is the scary part for me, Joe, when we talk about the Duke Blue Devils, because we can get into some of the layers, and you see how good Cooper Flagg was last night. 37 minutes out of 40 he played. 9 of 19 from the floor, 3 of 5 from the three-point line, 9 of 10 from the free-throw line, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 blocks, and a steal. Like, what doesn't he do with 30 total points in that game? And the question coming in for Duke was, you know what, they're a really good team, but oh no, we saw this before, that ankle injury just might linger. He misses the rest of the ACC tournament. They still win that here. You know, comes back and plays in round number one, sort of makes an appearance there, gets those rust, get knocked off, play game number two, plays better, and then game number three is back up to normal, and away you go. And the Duke Blue Devils, you look at them just as a team itself. Arizona last night, you tell me the box score. Hey, you know what? They shot 91% from the free throw line and shot more than 20 free throws. Oh, that's pretty good. 46% from three-point range, which included 12 of 26. Whoa. And then you say from the floor against a very good Duke defensive team, 46% on a neutral court. I'm thinking they might actually win that game, not be down 19 in the second half. So when you look at the Duke Blue Devils, where it sets up now, where maybe the only thing we were worried about was Cooper Flagg being healthy. Now he is and is not injured anymore. How do you stop the Duke Blue Devils moving forward? Like, what's the game plan for them?
You have to outscore them, period. I mean, listen, as good as Cooper Flagg was, don't forget, he was only 2 of 7 in the second half. But he affected the game in other ways, right? So he had blocks, he had a steal, he had, I think, 4 or 5 assists. So you are ultimately going to have to outshoot Duke. Much easier said than done. And There's only a couple of teams that can. You're not going to get Duke in a 68-65 game. That's just not going to happen, Ben. They're too good offensively, and I believe even Tommy Lloyd after the game last night had said they're a machine offensively. They're like a machine, and that's exactly what they are, a machine offensively.
Yeah, really impressive, again, overall. But the expectations always were Duke to be high. This wasn't, hey, you know, we could take a flyer on Duke to win it. No, they were the favorites coming in, and also the MOP, Cooper Flagg, still putting up big-time numbers. Now, granted, again, we always like to say this. The MOP is only supposed to be the Final Four, but Flagg putting up 30 points before he even gets to the Final Four and then going into the Elite Eight, that's going to give him a bump where all he has to do is be average, and if the Duke Blue Devils win it, he's probably going to take down the MOP. But no shame in the game for the Arizona Wildcats. Sometimes you just, Joe, run up to a better team and say, hey, you know what? We tried our best. 48-42 at the break. Lost the second half by 1 point. Now, granted, again, we understand they were down close to 20 points in the second half, but still fought back with an arm's length distance late in that game where some crazy things could have happened. Caleb Love, 40 minutes yesterday, 11 of 21 from the floor, 5 of 11 from the three-point line, of 8 of 9 from the free throw line at 35 points. I said this yesterday, Joe, and Arizona did end up covering, but there was no way I thought that Arizona would even be in the game or covering unless Caleb Love had 20-plus points, which means he had a really good game. Scored 35 points. They still didn't win. Buck got the cover, so the handicap was correct. Love was great. They covered the spread. They tried to win the basketball game and just came up short. I didn't mind what Arizona did, Joe. Just Duke was just a better team, just the way it is.
Flat out, there was no question, and they were the better team for the entire game there. And, you know, Arizona tried to, I don't know that Arizona could have played any better in that second half to get Correct. Themselves back into it, and they still fell 7 points short. But that seven easily could have been 15 points, and in many aspects probably could have if Duke did not take their foot off the gas a little bit there at the end. But when you're up 20, you know, that's the thing with Duke. They've never really been tested, Donnie. They're always up these 18, 19, 20 points in the second half with 10 minutes to go. You know, Arizona's the only one that's made a legit shot at making a run at them, and even that wasn't remotely close.
Get the binoculars out, Joe, because you don't have to look far. You want a close test? You just might be getting it here in the Elite Eight. Alabama and Duke, Saturday night, 8:49 p.m. is the tip time. This line opened up as a 5.5-point favorite, now goes to 6.5 at FanDuel. Look at that total. FanDuel's opening number, Joe, 165.5. FanDuel sits at 172.5 this morning, with other outlets close to 175. You gotta love it. Joe and Donnie in the morning on a Friday, getting you set for this weekend's action.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Some say the West Coast is the best coast, and we got some good basketball yesterday on the West Coast. The Florida Gators, one of the best teams in the country. You could argue maybe the hottest team in the country coming into the tournament. Easily dispatching of opponents here, playing great basketball. And yesterday, same exact story, Joe. 87-71. Maryland Terrapins, the Crab 5 season ends on a 16-point loss 3,000 miles away from home. But I got to tell you here, like, I'm looking forward to the Dogs covering. Two yesterday covered, two lost yesterday. This game, 40-38 at the break. You thought it'd be close, but the Florida Gators hit that gas pedal in the second half to a 47-33 tune. Enough for that easy victory over the Maryland Terrapins. We'll get to the coaching in just a little bit of what we think, but your initial thoughts for the Florida Gators moving on once again.
Very, very Florida Gator-like. There's two teams that remain in this tournament that have the kind of depth that's scary, where, you know, your All-American players can have off games and you don't have to worry that people won't step up and come in off the bench and get the job done. Michigan State, who we'll see tonight, is one of those teams that can go 10 deep. And Florida's the other, who can go 9, 10 deep. And, I mean, listen, their All-American guard, the leader of this team, was nowhere to be found last night in that game. And that might be the scariest part of anybody having to face them, given that they brought guys off the bench. The bigs had a huge night there, and they basically won the game in that second half. Very workmanlike. They play defense when they need. They've been tested already with UConn, right? So if they didn't turn the ball over 20 times in the first half, Donnie, they'd have won this game by 30 points. It wouldn't have even been close, but they kept turning the ball over for no good reason. Not because Maryland was playing great defense. They kept throwing the ball over the heads of their own guys. So all in all, they figured it out in the second half. It just, it's too much when you have 9-10 guys on a bench and any one of them, Donnie, they can beat you on any given night. That is tough to overcome in these kinds of situations.
I love where you go with this, because I use the same analogy with Duke, saying, well, wait a second here. Like, Cooper Flagg goes down the ACC tournament. You're telling me all the backups got to play well, and play in the spotlight and win. That's only going to be a bonus towards Duke. And you take a look at the Florida Gators. They won by 16. Walter Clayton did not have a great game. Condon got injured early. That's two starters, a massive part of their team, and they still won by double digits going away. The sign of a really good basketball team is what you saw from Florida. Now, questions coming up on Maryland's side is, who is their coach actually going to be next year? Let's listen to Kevin Willard after the game.
No, I don't know what I'm doing. I'll just be honest with you. I haven't talked to my agent. I haven't talked to my wife. I made a promise to this team that I was going to just focus on this team, and that's all I've done. So I haven't talked to anybody. Right now, my biggest concerns in life right now, you know, I don't know who my boss is going to be. It's the guy that brought me here. Who I really liked and appreciative of him bringing me to College Park, is not here anymore. And I don't know who we're going to hire. And that's, as in today's day and age, that worries me a little bit. I'm just being honest. My honesty got me in trouble. Might as well keep getting me in trouble. So this is going to be a family decision. I love College Park. I love Maryland, you know, but there's, when you're at this point in your career and you're looking at things, I have to take everything into consideration about what's going moving forward. But I have not even talked to anybody, so I don't know what I'm doing.
I love this, because here's where we can start this conversation. He's talking about how much he loves College Park. He's talking about, you know, boy, the AD here that left, and I don't know what my future is going to be. You know the first call you usually make and you talk to? That's your agent. So he's trying to say that he's sitting up there at a post-game press conference. All I'm doing is thinking about my future, but I haven't talked to my agent or anybody surrounding here on what my future is. I love coach speak. Just be real with us. Hey, it's uncertain here. I have great opportunities out here. I like Maryland, would like to be back. No more questions. It answers everything, Joe. Why is it so hard?
Yeah. Well, listen, he has made no secrets about how he is not thrilled with the support that he has gotten from Maryland and the administration. Not just this year, Donnie, but going back the last couple of years. He's been there 3 years, and every year he is just, especially with in the world of NIL, he's made it known. I mean, what are we doing? Do we want to win or don't we want to win here? And they've been very noncommittal with him. And again, you lose the guy that hired you. It wouldn't shock me if the announcement that he's the new Villanova coach comes down in the next 24 hours.
Like, the last thing you want on your mind, especially to win an NCAA championship, is like, I don't even know if I'm going to be back next year. It looks like it showed last night. We're going to talk more. Close game alert. Come on back on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back out of here on the early and on a Friday morning, recapping Sweet 16 action yesterday. And it's good to recap, because before we get to this game, Joe, and I will say this until the day I die, I'm laying in bed yesterday after watching some entertaining college basketball going, I have zero chance to be able to watch the Duke game, and I have zero chance to be able to watch the Razorbacks take on the Red Raiders last night. Tell me again, and maybe you know better than I do, starting games after 10 o'clock with an entire game to play, and also keep in mind, like, Duke is one of the, you know, flagship programs that everybody wants to watch, and we say, you know what? The NCAA says it's better if only half the country has the ability to watch this game. Why do we do this? Do you have any answers, Joe?
It's such between a rock and a hard place here, because you're talking about a, you know, a Western region, no less, that is playing games in San Francisco, Donnie, right? So when do you, the Florida game was really what, 4 o'clock? When did the Florida game start? 7:40 Eastern time, right? That had to be what, 3 hours behind in that one there. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of that rock and a hard place. You can't start it too early on the East Coast when people aren't home. So your only choice is to really do it around that 6:30, 7 o'clock time period. And at that point, you're still running to after 11 o'clock at night. And it's just, you know, if the sponsors and the money is coming in and saying we're okay with it, then they're going to keep rolling and doing exactly that, Tony.
It is wild. And I get upset with it because, again, I miss games like an overtime game between Texas Tech and Arkansas, yep, a game that I was very excited to watch here, saying, you know what? I think the dog has a legitimate chance to win and cover. Arkansas has been on a roll here, and let's see what happens. And Texas Tech is one of my favorite teams. And I actually had a bet for Texas Tech to make it to the Elite Eight at a +180 number. And they did that. I had to wake up and see, oh, my goodness, they actually won. So watching the highlights and going through it right now as a recap, my goodness here. Arkansas, let this game slip away. Cal almost had his team first year in the Elite Eight. What went wrong? And is it just, hey, they're college kids, 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. They just couldn't hold on the biggest moments here. 85-83 victory for Texas Tech. Impressive, but the comeback, even more impressive, Joe.
Well, I mean, you had mentioned it early. Texas Tech in the beginning, I mean, Darian Williams couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat. He was 1 of 11 to start from the field. And, you know, the fact that he ended up with 20 points, 15 of those in the second half and overtime, including the biggest threes of the game for them, the ones that tied it up in the bucket that put them ahead in overtime. They didn't have that in the first half. And it's a miracle that, unfortunately for Arkansas, the scoring dried up for long stretches in the second half. And that's what allowed Texas Tech to be able to get back into it. But once Texas Tech found its rhythm, there was panic in Arkansas, and you could see it last night, Donnie. The minute that they started to come back and the minute the shots started to fall that weren't falling, all of a sudden Arkansas started to pucker up a little bit, if you know what I mean, and that was pretty much the end-all, be-all. Then all of a sudden that giant lead by as many as, 16, 17 at one point, gone in that second half. But that's, Texas Tech has been there and done that before this year. Arkansas, not so much. And it showed last night here. But what a season. Nobody thought Arkansas was going to be in this point with an opportunity to go to the Elite Eight. And even Calipari said so afterwards there, that it was, they could have, should have, would have. But ultimately, when you look at it, probably a team that overperformed a little bit in Cal's first year at Arkansas.
No, they really did too, Joe, because when you take a look, and again, we were looking at Texas Tech, who's usually one of the better three-point shooting teams in the country, 25%, yep, 8 of 32. But understand this, like Arkansas is a pretty good defensive team, and their footprint says they're going to be hell on wheels and stop you from shooting a three-point shot. But also, McMillan being out for Texas Tech is like, when he's getting back, had the injury late in the season, then another shoulder injury, just starting to get back. It was a game-time decision, didn't go. So let's just say that Texas Tech wins their Elite Eight game and goes to the Final Four. He might be back. The reason I bring it up from Texas Tech side is we were anticipating like Boogie Flan, maybe their best player coming into the season and most talented, done about midway through the year, comes back. He was never the same, though. Inefficient in the games, he came back only 9 minutes last night, 0 for 3 from the floor, didn't even score a point. But the biggest add back in that lineup was Thero. He only plays 5 minutes, like one of the best players during the season for the Arkansas Razorbacks. It's a shame where, let's just say if Arkansas was able to hold on with that lead and makes it to the next day, Boogie Flan gets another game under his belt, Thero maybe plays a little bit more minutes, and then if you win that game, you go to the Final Four and have an entire week there. So I think it was a great performance by Cal, and I just date it back to, Joe, when we first saw Calipari at Arkansas, and you know the transfer portal is big. You knew he would bring in guys, but I thought it was funny. His opening press conference, like, you do understand I am the head coach for the Razorbacks. I don't have a single kid committed to this team. Not like a recruiting class, a single kid here, because everybody's in the portal. Built that team, you knew he would take the Kentucky transfers over like DJ Wagner and hoping it would work out. Midway through the SEC schedule, it didn't look all that good here for the Arkansas Razorbacks. So I guess you could say, Cal, obviously a good coach. The future's probably pretty bright for the Razorbacks in a tough SEC.
Very tough. And it was the makeup of this team. Once again, the size and athleticism of Arkansas. You could see, Donnie, when that game kicked off, it looked like men versus boys there. The size of Arkansas, I mean, they're throwing 6'9", 6'10", 6'11", guys with 747 wingspans there. And Texas Tech was like, what? No wonder why they couldn't hit anything. Every shot was contested. Eventually, what good teams do is they figure it out. And that's what Texas Tech did. But unfortunately for Arkansas, like you mentioned, nope, nothing from the bench. Boogie Fland disappeared. Theron had played, what, 5 minutes? Yep. And the guys that were carrying the load, they went cold. And that's what allowed Texas Tech to get back into it when it mattered the most.
Yeah, Jonnell Davis there, 11 of 11 from the free throw line, 30 points in that game. Certainly a superstar for the Arkansas Razorbacks. But we have to say, like, what's next for the Texas Tech Red Raiders here? Can they get one of their best players back into the rotation who finally is, you know, a three-point shooter with a shoulder injury trying to work his way to the three-point line? Never a great thing. Game-time decision, maybe it's a true game-time decision in their Elite Eight game, because if we are looking forward to what's up next, well, it doesn't get any easier for you, Texas Tech. Like, you were supposed to beat Arkansas, escape with a furious comeback, which I like because we talked about it before earlier in the show. Teams that don't play all that well but still somehow find a way to win where you get your offense back and more efficient, maybe that happens. Texas Tech and Florida on the West Coast show. 6.5 is the opening line here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Still sits now at 6.5 with a total of 155.5. Texas Tech, Florida is going to be a good one, but Texas Tech escapes here hoping to get a better shooting environment against Florida out of the West Coast.
And everything I'm hearing about Chance McMillan is that he just, the shoulder is no good. The best part about Chance McMillan is their best three-point shooter. And if you can't, you know, if you can't get the shots up and the shoulder's an issue, I mean, I know they keep dangling him out there, but there's really, I don't see what a shoulder injury as a three-point bomber. I just don't see how he's going to be ready. If he couldn't go in this game, Donnie, he's not going in the Florida game either. And I don't love the fact for Texas Tech that they just had to come back like they did and go to overtime here against a very physical Arkansas team and now have to go play Florida, who, let's face it, cakewalked right through that game against Maryland.
Yeah, just big, strong, fast. Florida's got it all certainly in depth there. And I always like to say, like, with injury information, it's no different, Joe, from the NFL or hockey or right over to college basketball. Good news travels really fast. Bad news gets suppressed. What do you think about your star player? We'll see how it goes this weekend, as opposed to, like Duke told you, Cooper Flagg's going to sit out the rest of the ACC tournament. The minute we got to the tournament itself on that Monday, what did John Shire come out and say to us? Well, we expect them to be ready and available on Friday. Yep. We don't hear that from these other players here because why? That injury is a little bit more devastating. Also from McMillan, it wasn't the same injury. Like, he had a lower leg injury, which turned into a shoulder injury, which is the worst case scenario. Now you worried about both injuries at the same time. Correct. And a guy that couldn't shoot beyond the three-point arc just a few days ago finally starts taking shots from the three-point arc and is a devastating three-point shooter. Not the greatest look. It's like a sprinter with a hamstring injury going like, you know what? I'll try to run that. We know how it's going to work out. It's not going to work out in your favor. It's a shame. The biggest parts of the year, you need your best players, and maybe Texas Tech won't have that. More recaps coming up next right here on a Friday morning.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The game of the night, you knew it. Because why? Your boy Donnie writes, I told you all week long. I looked more forward to this game than any other game this week, and that includes Major League Baseball. It was Alabama. It was BYU. It was the styles that make fights, and I had a great handicap leading up to it. Again, the only crime is the FanDuel Sportsbook here in New Jersey. Since the games are based in New Jersey and Newark, I wasn't able to bet. But I told everybody, being a man of the people, you need to get down on Alabama, lay the 4.5 points. They have a decided advantage at the three-point line. Not even in my wildest dreams, which are sometimes, Joe, very wild, did I expect the Crimson Tide to drop 25 three-point shots out of 51 attempts. That's not fair. Like, if Alabama could just play that way against an NBA team, they might have taken them down last night with ease. 25 of 51, 113-188 final. What did Alabama not do well last night, Joe? Goodness.
Well, but, you know, let's also be realistic. We knew Alabama was capable of a game like this. And to this point, I mean, Mark Sears was 5 of 35 heading into this game. Correct. A 14% from 3-point range. So, you know, I'm a big regression to the mean, right? I'm always about, listen, you're not going to keep the truly great ones down that long. He was not having a good tournament. I didn't think BYU defensively was going to provide any sort of issue for Alabama shooters. If BYU was going to win this game, they were going to have to shoot out of their mind, much like Alabama did. And listen, they scored almost 90 points, and it wasn't even close. So I don't know that BYU could have done anything different to win this game. They would have needed Alabama to beat themselves, and that just tells you there's a big gap between the ability of these two teams here. Great job by BYU. I mean, they never quit. They always kept coming, but the problem was Alabama, unlike Duke, never took their foot off the gas.
You're right, and you hit the nail on the head there. Like, coming into the game, obviously Alabama was favored. They weren't favored by 14.5, 17.5. Like, BYU was a good team. But I almost
all the money was BYU yesterday, yeah. Donnie.
All the money. And even the fans in the stands all blue, which some of that, of course, was Duke. Yep. But the BYU contingent was in there in full force. They have the best basketball player in the country that's going to commit or already committed and will play at BYU next year watching that game. And sometimes I look at the coaching staff and say, well, what's our best point of victory in here? How can we beat Alabama? And maybe somebody goes, you know what? Alabama just has to beat themselves is what we need. So I know people are like, defend the 3-point line. Sometimes you just have to say to yourself, look, the only way we do it is if we give them 3-point shots and they don't make it, we can hang around and maybe steal this game. Well, granted, if at 25 of 51, it wasn't like, we'll give you the 3-point line. We'll shoot 51 times. You make 15. I'm like, hey, that's not a bad night. You still made 15 3-point shots. They made 25, which included again. You're right. Like, Mark Sears was struggling. So if you said as a BYU coach, you know what? Maybe that struggle continues. Hopefully he does shoot 16 threes and makes three of them. We'll be right in this game. He made 10 of them. You take a look at Phylon. Youngblood, 5 of 11. Off the bench, you got a kid shooting 13 triples off the bench like he's Peyton Pritchard of the Boston Celtics. Sometimes you just run into a buzzsaw, which is exactly what Alabama was. Now, we'll get to the next games in just a bit, but I need some handicapping, you know, prowess from you. I watched that 113. I watch all those triples go down, and most of the public will go, man, next game, that's going to continue. I can't believe this type of tempo. It's going to be great. My mind starts grinding those gears going, Joe, I don't think it's going to happen two games in a row.
Well, it better because again, Donnie, this wasn't, I think, for perspective, this is not an anomaly. This is the country's highest scoring offense here. 92 points a game, 91.5 points a game. They went above that expectation, obviously going over 100 points, but it was always against BYU, I think, a race to 100. Whoever scored 100 points first was probably going to win this game, right? And it was Alabama at the century mark, by the way, with about 6 minutes to go in the game. So it wasn't even remotely close. But let's not act like this is a team that only scores 78 points a game. This is the highest scoring offense in the country, and they are going to need. Now, listen, are they going to go 49%, 25 of 51 again from three against Duke? Probably not. But don't tell me this ain't a race to 90-95 again against Duke. Alabama will be ready for it and is capable of doing just that against this Duke Blue Devils team. Well, let's face it, we just watched we watched Arizona drop a whole lot of points and 90 points on them here. Alabama's not capable of doing that only and even better? I think they are.
Boy, man, great guard play. We always talk about it. Yes, you need big men. Yep. Yes, you need the guys to attack the glass. But when you have a guard, experienced guards in those situations that even though, Joe, like the best point we can bring up is Mark Sears last night. You called it. Yep. Coming into the tournament here, struggling in the tournament from three-point range and said, you know what? I don't care what I just did. And even said as much. Like, right. I'm next up, next shot I'm taking because you know what? I have the confidence and my teammates have the confidence in me to make those shots here. That's what's so impressive. So for a guy to say, I'm struggling, but still shooting 16 three-point shots, ends up making 10 of them, ultra impressive. But I do got to say, shout out to the BYU Cougars, man. Going over to the Big 12, having a great season here. A fun brand of basketball, which looks like in the future is protected as The best player in the country is not going to Duke, not going to Carolina, not going to UConn. He's going to BYU. So the future for the BYU Cougars, love that setup, love the three-point shots, love the ability where they're using the NIL and getting the best player in the country. I like what I'm seeing from BYU for the future here, Joe.
Nothing not to like. Absolutely nothing not to like. And they ended the year. I mean, they were what, 11-1 in their previous 12 games coming into that one last night? They were red hot. They just ran in to a better team on a unbelievable night shooting the ball. And that would have been good enough to beat, Donnie, 90% of the other teams in the tournament on any given night. It just wasn't good enough to beat Alabama last night.
If Alabama brought their B game last night, BYU would have won that game. Alabama brought their A++++ game last night and rolled to an easy victory over the BYU Cougars. And again, couldn't bet the game in New Jersey. What a shame it is. But you know what? Get it, smile. Keep the smile up, Donnie. Ready? Watch this. Yeah, I can't even bet the Alabama-Duke game, which might be the best game overall in the tournament altogether at this point. So I got that sad crying face. You ever see the meme where, like, the guy is, you know, crying underneath but smiling up front? That's your boy DRS. The Elite Eight coming up next, right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it. Hour number one, absolutely fast moving here. Close to hour number two, which we're going to flip it over to Major League Baseball. But we always have an opportunity to set the table for what's going to take place next. We know a couple of the games for the Elite Eight, Joe Ranieri, and we're going to preview those right now. Two games set for the docket tomorrow, 6:09 p.m. Eastern. That game will start on the West Coast. Make it make sense. That's a 3 o'clock start. So we can have Duke in prime time on a Saturday night, tipping at 8:49. If we start with the game on the East Coast in Newark, it's Alabama and it's Duke. The opening number at the FanDuel Sportsbook was 5.5 points at 165.5 as a total, which is a crazy high number. Fast forward to this morning where people had a chance to bet into the number and those numbers have corrected. Duke now, Joe, sits at a 6.5 point favorite at the FanDuel Sportsbook. And look at this total, up 9 points, even higher than the graphic you saw, 174.5. So looking at these opening numbers, 5.5 to 165.5, till now 174.5 and 6.5, what are your thoughts here and what the public is doing with this?
Well, and the public is, you know, not always wrong, Ben. In fact, Donnie, in fact, they have been right pretty much the last couple of tournaments here. This has been about as chalky a tournament this year, and it started crazy enough last night, right? In the Sweet 16, we get not one, but two blowout games with the favorites winning easily. And we're going, here we go again. The public is all over it. The public was all over the Alabama over last night. They were all over the Duke over last night against our. If it ain't broke, don't fix it here. What wins this game, Donnie? Let me ask you this. The first one to what
defense
wins?
First 50 to 49, Joe. Come on, 50 to 49.
Come on, you ain't getting any defense in this game. Absolutely not. Now, again, is there a Alabama averages 90 some odd points a game. Duke is very capable. They just showed you of dropping 100. How is Alabama any different than Arizona the way they're going to approach the game? They're going to want to get out in transition. If they're chasing Duke, there is no way this thing stays under 180 points, Donnie. There's no way. 95 points at least is what's going to have to win it. It's a dead over. And I'll tell you this. They have, including last night, Duke, since the middle of February, every game Cooper Flagg has played in, they have scored at least 81 points in a game. In every game since the middle of February. I don't know what the team total is, Donnie, but I guarantee you I'll be on the over for Duke, because unless it's 98 points, I'm betting Duke to be over 81, 82, 83 points, whatever it may be.
Explosions expected in Newark tomorrow with points here, 174.5. We'll see it. By the way, it sits right now, Joe, 174.5. Where is this line at game time tomorrow? What does that over look like?
I think it continues to rise. I would not, because you know the public. First of all, the public wasn't the one to the window to bet this game on Saturday. All that over money is still about to come in. So that was a lot of pro money that immediately sat, waited, and hammered the over, because they like us know you're going to have to score 95 points to win this game. And whoever does, this thing is flying over the 170 mark. I think it opened up way too low, Donnie, no?
Apparently, yeah. They pounded that number because let's use the other game tomorrow. Texas Tech and Florida. That's the Red Raiders and the Gators tomorrow. We see all the line movement, the Duke line. How about this, Joe? Opening number at the FanDuel Sportsbook Florida, -6.5. You know where it sits right now? -6.5. Opening number at the FanDuel Sportsbook on the total, 155.5. You know where it sits right now? 155.5 live. So no movement off the opening number as everybody apparently put their whole bankroll and their expenses on the Alabama and Duke game, say, I don't even have anything left over for the Texas Tech game.
Well, and now, folks, there was an awful lot of people banking on Maryland taking Florida down last night. And now all of a sudden you've got to look at Florida in a different light with recency bias, right? Everyone thought that UConn showed something. Well, UConn didn't show anything except how Florida is resilient. And now Florida blows out a Maryland team everyone thought might be better. Now what do you do? So I think this game is going to see a ton of game day movement, Donnie. I promise you that line is going to go crazy a half hour before tip-off there on Saturday.
By the way, we are setting ourselves up, too, because I say this repeatedly, and I love Cinderella stories until, Joe, they win basketball games. Then I get upset after watching them the next weekend when I could have had the true blue bloods. We are setting ourselves up for an unbelievable Elite Eight and a fantastic Final Four. And if it is, let's just say, chalk, where it's Duke taking on Florida in the final, my goodness, could this have been the best overall tournament of all time without the upsets? It could be. Hour number two is coming up next. Joe Rainier and Donnie Wrightside, we got you covered. Come on back.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.